afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Friday, February 11th, 2022. Well, hello, Butch.
Hello, Miss Melody. How are you doing today?
Just fine, thank you. Remember that song, Well, Hello, Dolly?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's been a while back. Yeah.
I was going to sing, Well, Hello, Butch.
Well, go ahead. Well, you may have a hit on your head, don't you?
Maybe.
Go right ahead.
And we don't have to do the programs. No. A hit, huh?
Well,
or someone's
going to
hit me. I don't know. Anyway, well, you know, I know we're going to be talking about it, but as a little build up here to the market report. The White House warns that Russia could invade Ukraine during the Olympics. Everybody thought they would wait afterwards, but now they're saying that it's going to be perhaps during. The U.S. is sending additional 3,000 troops to Poland, and U.S. consumer sentiment hit more than 10-year low. So, and with that, we'll go into the gold prices, and we'll discuss each one of those independently after the market. Gold is up $35 at $1,862. Wow. Silver is up 41 cents at $23.69. Platinum was up a dollar at $1,037. Palladium was up 56 at $2,402. The USDX today, that was also up 0.36, 96.03. Crude oil was over 95. Currently up 4 at 93.88. So, and I'm assuming that is a current close on that. I'll have to take a peek here in a little bit, but 93.88, but we did cross 95. Paper markets today, they brought it back some. Well, not too much. The Dow's dropped 500 points. 34,738. The S&P dropped 85 points. The NASDAQ dropped more than 2%, almost closer to 2.75% is what it dropped, 394 points, 13,791. All based on fears of an attack on Ukraine from Russia. Foreign markets, the only one that was positive was the Nikkei. Everything else was negative. Europe was all negative. The bond actually dropped 1.918%, 1.918% after it went over 2% yesterday. So it's kind of interesting to see what is going on, Butch, with I listened to some of the report or the press conference today out of the White House with Psaki, and I don't know who the military leader was, which one that was. Did you have a chance to?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I've been following some of it online here and reporting some of it, but I didn't get all of it. No, I didn't.
Yeah. They're talking about that, you know, Russia has almost, what, over 100,000 troops, 130,000 troops near the border. And the U.S. has warned everybody to, that is U.S., to get out of Ukraine immediately in the next 24 to 48 hours. So they're still talking about economic sanctions if Russia does attack. While the Kremlin says NATO expanding further east or deploying weapons in Ukraine are red lines. I can't believe they're talking about this, Butch. They're still saying that this is all a false flag by Russia, that Russia's going to do a false flag.
In my opinion, if anybody's going to do a false flag, it'd be us.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, when did you ever hear government talk about a false flag? And go into
true.
Details.
Yes, yes.
Go into details and describe how it's done. I've never heard that from a government. They can't.
No.
I mean, it was almost like what you heard about, well, they're going to have actors, and they're going to have people play dead, and they're going to have fake blood. I mean, this is a government official describing in detail with the false flag. And it's like, I'm sorry, but I've never heard a government official talk about a false flag. They're the ones who do it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. No, but now they're saying Russia going to do it. It's not going to be us, although we've done many of ourselves. But it's going to be Russia, I guess, this time. And now we're on the topic. Biden warns of world war, while UK's trust says Rostov and Fedorov are not Russian. President Joe Biden called for American citizens in Ukraine to leave the country as soon as possible after revealing the potential for a world war and warning that things could go crazy quickly between the U.S. and Russia. Biden's bombastic rhetoric was preceded by Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov meeting with British Secretary of State Liz Truss, where she embarrassed herself by failing to grasp the basic geography of the region. The Anglo-escalation is part of their effort to detail dialogue between Moscow and the two European Union powerhouses of France and Germany to overcome the Ukraine crisis. Americans, citizens should leave now, Biden told the interview with NBC News on February 10th. It's not like we're dealing with a terrorist organization. We're dealing with one of the largest armies in the world. It's a very different situation. Things could go crazy quickly. When asked what could prompt his order to send troops to Ukraine, Biden said that's a world war when Americans and Russia start shooting at each one another. We're in a very different world than we've ever been. The American president also sent a message to the Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin, saying that if he's foolish enough to come in, he's smart enough to actually do nothing that could negatively impact American citizens. And I got another bit of information on that also. But Biden said it could be world war. That's big words, Melody. That's a big accusation. That's a big statement.
Yes, it is.
You know,
I haven't heard that, but yeah, that is.
Yeah, that's a big one. You see, with buildup on land and sea, Russia closes in on Ukraine. Maybe all this is really happening, like they say it is. I just don't trust our news reporters. But thousands of Russian troops on Thursday began 10 days of exercise in Belarus. And Ukraine warning of upcoming Russian naval drills so extensive they could block shipping lanes as the Kremlin continued to tighten its military vice on Ukraine. In Moscow, Russia's top diplomat, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, gave a bleak assessment of the diplomatic efforts aimed at determining a full-scale invasion. He dismissed his talks with his British counterpart as a conversation of a mute person with a deaf person, asserting again that the West was not seriously addressing Russia's most pressing concerns. I'll make this comment too, Melody. I read an article today that Putin wants a Monroe Doctrine, just like Gibson did, that wouldn't allow enemies to surround the country. And I can understand his point on that. I mean, I can understand why they want Ukraine to join NATO. I mean, that's right on his doorstep. But anyway, President Vladimir Putin of Russia was slightly more conciliatory, telling reporters on Thursday that negotiations with the West were continuing over Russia's demands to reshape the security architecture of Eastern Europe. He said Russia was preparing written responses in his back and forth with United States and NATO, and added that he planned to speak by phone in the coming days with President Emmanuel Macron of France. But the intensifying Russian military activity in north, east, and south of Ukraine gave an ominous undertone to the diplomatic scramble. Satellite images collected on Wednesdays and Thursday revealed new deployments of Russian military equipment and troops in Crimea, Western Russia, and Belarus. In Belarus, Ukraine's northern neighbor and Russia's closest international ally, Russian fighter jets launched air patrols, and Russia spent potent S-400 air defense systems were deployed near the Ukrainian border. Russian Marines, normally based in eastern Siberia, more than 2,500 miles away, practiced urban warfare during the drills, the Russian Defense Ministry said. And of Ukraine's southeastern coast in the Black Sea and the Sea of Azov, Russia was preparing to hold large-scale naval exercises, prompting a protest from Ukraine that they would block vital trading routes. Ukraine said the planned drills were an abuse of international law by Russia in order to achieve its own geopolitical goals, and it called on other countries to respond by barring Russia's ships from their ports. Ukraine's ports of Odessa, Mykolaiv, Kherson, Mariupol, and Burdansk, which could be disrupted by the Russian military exercises, are gateways for the vast grain exports from the Ukraine's Black Earth farming zone, along with coal, steel, and other commodities important for the country's economy. Pretty serious statements.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, really, this let's just pray that it doesn't escalate into something that nobody's going to win. If this will go as far as it could go, Melody, nobody's going to win. I don't care if they come out and will say with fewer casualties and declare victory, no matter who may do that. Everyone loses in this. You know that.
See, I just don't understand why they just won't come out and they'll tell Russia, Ukraine, and their neighbors of Russia, the neighbors of, you know, on the border of Russia, will not be entered into NATO. That's all he wants.
That's all they want.
And if you do go, and then add, if you do go into those nations, in those other countries, you will still have to, you know, deal with NATO regardless. But they won't actually be members. I mean, not that we should. You know, these countries have to protect themselves anymore. And I can remember when this first happened, I thought there was a lot of Ukrainians who wanted to be part of Russia. They actually
Yes, I had that idea one time. And I'm fairly certain I've read at least where many of them did want to go back into Russia. I may be wrong, but I thought I read that.
Yeah, and the reason he has Crimea was because he had a huge, he has a huge base there, military
yes.
base.
Yes.
So, I don't know, we should keep our nose out of other people's business. And, you know, there was
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I love Pat Buchanan.
Oh, yes.
You know, and he just, you know, he did another article about Russia. The stress test for a fading superpower is the title of his article. You know, and we had it all. And then here we are. And we go in all these areas. He talks about the various, you know, of course, North Korea's and Georgia, Ukraine and so forth and various countries. And it's... You know, at the very end is when he always brings it all together. And his he was talking about North Korea has become a full-fledged nuclear power with intercontinental ballistic missiles that can hit the USA. Meanwhile, America has run up a national debt larger than the entire U.S. economy. Its trade deficits are at record levels. Its borders are being overrun by migrants from all over the world. And its disposition to intervene, engage, and fight for democracy has rarely been lower. The global stress test of the last superpower is on. And it is not likely we will pass it with a grade as high as the one we had earned by the Cold War's end.
Very true.
And we can't do it. You know, we just don't have that power anymore. And these other nations know it.
Well, you know, it's amazing to me the markets even reacted. They don't react on anything any longer, but they did react. And also,
a little bit.
Yeah, they did a little bit. And gold went up quite a bit, quite a jump. And so I expect that of gold, perhaps, but I mean, the markets, they did react a little bit. Not like they should, but they did. But you know, this article here says White House tells chip industry to brace for Russian supply disruptions. So... The White House is warning the chip industry to diversify supply chain in case Russia retaliates against threatened U.S. export curbs by blocking access to key materials. People familiar with the matter said the potential for retaliation has garnered more attention in recent days after Texit, a market research group, published a report on February 1st highlighting the reliance of many semiconductor manufacturers on Russian and Ukrainian sourced materials like neon, palladium, and others. According to TechNet, it estimates over 90% of U.S. semiconductor-grade neon supplies come from Ukraine. 90%, Melody. While 35% of the palladium is sourced from Russia. So, I had no idea, but again, when you depend on foreign powers, whether enemies or allies, either one, to supply what you need, you just weaken yourself. And that's just a fact. Wouldn't it be something, and I know they're pushing for this, I know they're pushing for EVs, electric vehicles, they're pushing hard for that, and I think in the next 4 or 5 years, we're going to see a big phase out of gasoline-powered vehicles. But Wouldn't it be something that if the U.S. just had an idea, hey, we'll go back to manufacturing our own cars and do it with the basic niche we used to have 40 years ago. We won't need electronics. We won't need all this extra stuff. We'll just make a nice car that runs in a simple a system that is everyone can work on, local mechanics can fix again, and go back to being self-sufficient. Wouldn't that be a good idea? But it isn't going to happen.
Well, it's not going to happen. You got to move into the modern world. I mean, we are in the modern world, and we are not going to go backwards in technology and so forth. And the problem with, you know, again, government money, federal government, billions of dollars are going to be used to build charging stations across the nation for those EVs. Why should us as taxpayers pay for those charging stations? Let the manufacturers pay for them, because they're going to push those vehicles on us. We don't want their stinking electric vehicles.
I have a question somebody sent me here. I'll just read this question guy sent me that concerns this. If the current power grid can't handle a night of 20 degrees temperatures without rolling blackouts, how are we going to plug in 100 million vehicles, electric cars up at night? I mean, duh. If they can't even take care of the switch now, how are you going to plug in 100 million electric cars?
It's all baloney. I think it's great. If they want to introduce these vehicles and give us options so that we can do them, and so I don't have a problem with options. Let the manufacturers build the charging stations and so forth. It shouldn't be slapped on the taxpayer. But what else? That's all government knows how to do. That's all they know how to do. They can get away with anything as long as the taxpayer makes his little monthly payment, your annual payment.
Now they're discussing putting the power grid in highways so the cars will charge while they're driving. Really? They can't even keep power stations running now.
That's what he wants, $1 trillion build back better deal. You know, that's where all that money's going to go, into their little electric cars. And who's that going to pay for? Maybe Biden's son is going to be in charge of it all. Right?
Yep. This is pushing us in directions. Some of these things I know are probably true, but all this built together, I can see it pushing in directions that we really don't want to go as a nation. But
the thing of it is, electric vehicles are expensive.
Oh, they are.
So
the batteries alone, $25,000. The battery, $25,000 by themselves. How can you afford to place a battery in a car that you've been driving 3-4 years? And my son sells cars. They sold a few electric vehicles, some full and some half. They've been brought back in less than a month. People didn't want them. They did not want them. So what's going on with that? I don't know. I never driven one. I couldn't tell you. But the people didn't want them. So there you go.
Well, I don't want to go into a break, but we have to. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. freedomradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com.
You know, you were talking about taxes, and I have a guy sent me a question here, too. I ask you, are there any other countries that tax their citizens and send some money to Americans?
What?
Are there any other countries that tax their citizens and send some of it to the Americans?
Mm.
We're all trying to send money overseas to people. How many countries send us money?
Well, it used to be in tariffs, but Biden's taken all the tariffs off.
So there's really no, I mean, what I'm saying and tax, I mean, you know, we're all trying to send a billion to this person or this country, half a billion here, whatever. We're doing that all the time, but not too many countries send us money from their tax, from their citizens. So these things, these are questions that what's going on here? I don't know. So you go ahead. Which way you want to go?
Any way you'd like.
Well, I have got something. This will be a question I'll ask you when finished. And this question I'll start off with. Why is the Fed suddenly holding an unscheduled, expedited closed board meeting on Monday, with Fed speakers and their media proxies scrambling to walk back St. Louis Fed Jim's Bullard's calls for an inter-meeting liftoff and uber hawkish rate hike trajectory? It is notable that of all of a sudden, the Fed's called for an expedited closed board meeting on Monday, February 14th, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The goal of the meeting is review and determination by the Board of Governors of the advance and discount rates to be charged by Federal Reserve banks. We are sure this is probably nothing, right? But it has got us thinking about the last time the Fed held such a meeting. It was late November 2015. The Fed held an unexpected meeting to review a determination by the Board of Governors of the advance and discount rates to be charged by the Federal Reserve banks. Shortly thereafter, the Fed hiked rates for the first time since 2006. February rate hikes expectations have fallen today, but remain elevated over the recent norms. So will the Fed surprise the world on Monday? That's a good question. What will they do? Have to hike the interest rates? Is that kind of last ditch effort, Melody, to try to fix things? Or what's your opinion on that?
On why they're having this meeting?
Yeah. I mean, it's an unscheduled meeting. And it's expedited. And it's going to be closed to the public.
Right.
What do you think's coming out of that?
I don't know what they can be doing. I don't know. It could be anything. I don't believe in coincidences, so perhaps they are planning. If Russia does do something stupid, maybe they're planning for what could happen. You got to remember too that, you know, the cyber attacks that have had, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, the cyber attacks and, you know, supposedly from Russia, but probably from all the countries, us included, in various various countries. And it was also once said that, I think, was it China, who said that the derivatives were the weapons of mass destruction. Maybe it wasn't China. Maybe it was Greenspan or somebody. I can't remember who said that. But the point is, we have a lot of those countries that are against the United States would like to see the United States fall, and they can do it financially when we have the amount of debt that we have. Now, we still do control a lot with the dollar, but when you look at two countries like China and Russia, don't know how many other little ones that could be involved. I mean, it could have a major impact. And so maybe that's why they're getting together to see in case that something happens with Russia. That's what I'd have to bet on.
Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, it's a nest of vipers getting together, figuring out something, but I don't know what it is. But I do an article here I think is kind of interesting, coming out of CNN News. $1,516,952,000,000. That's the number of federal taxes collection set a record through January. Let me repeat the number. $1,516,952,000,000 tax collections through January. Federal tax collection. That's not counting other taxes, folks, just federal. Not counting state and business taxes and income, property taxes. No, just federal taxes. A trillion and a half, Melody, in federal taxes. A trillion and a half. Off of how many working people in this country? The federal government is collected, and I just read it, in total taxes through the first 4 months of fiscal 2022, October through January, according to the monthly Treasury statement released today. The record in federal tax collections included $824,571,000,000 in individual income taxes, $469,468,000,000 in social insurance and retirement taxes, $112,248,000,000 in corporation income taxes, $32,359,000,000 in custom fees, $25,800,000,000 in excise taxes, $8,951,000,000 in estate and gift taxes, and $43,554,000,000 in what the Treasury statement calls miscellaneous receipts. Wow, that's a good miscellaneous. I wish I had one of those in our slush fund. Almost $44 billion in my slush fund. But anyway, at the same time that was collecting this record, $1,516,952,000,000 in taxes in the first 4 months of fiscal 2022, the federal government was spending $1,775,947,000,000, resulting in a $258,995,000,000 deficit. The highest tax collections in the first 4 months of the fiscal year before this year was in fiscal 2020. The Treasury collected $1,284,815,330,000 in October through the period. Wow, and I'm just going, the Department of Health and Human Services spent, now this is phenomenal, and these numbers are so staggering. The Department of Health and Human Services spent $526,975,000,000 in the first 4 months of fiscal 22. One more time. The Department of Health and Human Services spent $526,973,000,000 in the first 4 months of fiscal 2022, outspending all other federal departments and agencies. Social Security Administration was second, spending $408,659,000,000. The Department of Defense Military Programs was third, spending $241,443,000,000. During the first 4 months of the fiscal year, according to the monthly Treasury statement, the Treasury Department also spent $196,139,000,000 paying interest on Treasury securities. Wow. Melody, those are staggering. I mean, those are unbelievably staggering. I mean, it's hard to contemplate that kind of money being spent and collected. I mean, gee, to collect over $43 billion in miscellaneous receipts, that's pretty good. I think they're doing pretty well collecting money. What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, and where does it stop?
I don't see any stop.
No.
Not least, not till the whole thing collapses.
Nope.
So I don't see any stop.
No, and it's not going to stop.
It isn't going to stop until the whole thing collapses. Then they'll own everything, literally. And this is what Klaus Schwab said. You own nothing, you'll be happy.
Yep.
So this is what's coming down to, people. This is building up so quickly. These numbers are unthinkable. They're not, at least in my mind, they're not acceptable in the fact that my understanding, because I can't think that big as far as anything, especially money. Unbelievable. And Bidenflation, go ahead, I'm sorry.
And just remember, we just came out of a 2-year health issue where people did what they were told to do.
Oh, yes.
So there's a degree of conditioning that has gone on in the past 2 years. And so when, what better time, and this is just my own thoughts, but what better time to have a situation when you have at least half the people or more conditioned to obey?
True. And had the people discontented in so many different areas, why not get that, their mind off of that discontent and put on something that frightens them enough they stand together again? Mm. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Mm. So you talk about timing, and they do have a, you know, they always have a time. They're very well planned.
Oh, yes.
They've been very patient. And so that was just my thought. Anyway.
Well, back to reality again. Bidenflation, they call it, shrinking paycheck to 3%. Inflation, 7.5% in the United States, and folks, again, that's way low. A high not seen since 1982 is alarming economists and politicians alike. Founding president of the Club for Growth and distinguished visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation, Stephen Moore, says fiscal responsibility is one solution for inflation, but that is unlikely to come from the Biden administration. Folks, it hasn't come from administration since I've been alive. Fiscal responsibility is a joke. They don't even talk about it any longer. There's no such thing as fiscal responsibility. No such thing as a balanced budget. It's not even mentioned any longer. It's not going to happen. But anyway, Bidenflation is no longer a transitory brush fire, but a fast-spreading force fire. With wages up 4.6% and prices up 7.5%, the purchasing power of Americans' paychecks has shrunk by 3% in 1 year under Biden, Moore says. The solutions? Stop government spending, borrowing, and printing of money. Start by burying, build back better. He's right. They need to stop spending. They need to stop spending money. But we're kidding ourselves if we think they're going to do that. They can't do it. They're in their own swamp. They're sinking. And they have to keep spending money to keep their head above water. It's not going to happen, folks. It can't happen. Until it all collapses, there's going to be nothing to relieve us of this debt. And when that happens, we're all going to be up to our eyeballs in a swamp. Any comments, Melody?
No.
I mean, is it making sense?
Well, sure.
I mean, what's going to happen when everything does collapse and our retirement funds, our paychecks are cut in half just to, you know, to maintain, to get things somewhere normal?
You're going to be lucky it's only cut in half.
You're right. I agree. I totally agree.
I mean, you know, there are so many scenarios that, excuse me, that could happen out there. We really don't know. But, I mean, things are really, we know even after 2008 there was legislation floating around about taking retirement accounts, turning them into some sort of like an annuity for people, taking their retirement account, saying, well, we can take, but you know, if we take your money, you'll never have to worry about another penny. You'll never go broke. So you'll have money, you know, until you die. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about outliving your money. I mean, legislation was written. Of course, it didn't get approved, but it's there. You know what, you think Obamacare was, you know, it was been sitting around for a long time. Then they introduce it and pass it when they know it can get done. Patriot Act, everything, all of those big takeaways of our freedoms, they're all written, all ready to go. They have to have the right time to do it, so the American
crisis.
People will say,
the right crisis, yes.
Okay. So
In this article, a firestorm of hawkish Fed speculation erupts following strong U.S. inflation reading. Economists seem to be trying to one-up each other with talk of emergency interest rate hike or a large 75 basis point in March. If that happens, it's going to be something. How hawkish will the Federal Reserve be this year? At the moment, Wall Street economists seem to be telling their clients more hawkish than we thought 5 minutes ago. The strong U.S. consumer inflation data reported Thursday has set off what looks like a chain reaction of upward revisions to projected interest rates rises and where the Fed is headed with monetary policy. Fed watchers are talking seriously about an emergency interest rate hike before the Fed's next formal meeting on March 16th. Well, the meeting is coming Monday, folks. I don't know what for yet. We'll find out, I guess, Tuesday. The consumer price index rose 0.6% in January with broad-based gains. The year-over-year rate rose to 7.5%, the highest in 40 years. In the wake of the data, Goldman Sachs said it now sees seven consecutive 25-basis-point rate hikes at each of the remaining Fed policy meetings this year. The investment bank's earlier prediction was five hikes. From 5 to 25, Melody, what do you think? Doesn't sound real comforting, does it?
No, it doesn't. Nope.
You know, it just doesn't. And we'll get time to think from this. Well, no, we don't have time next article. But with all this, that's a lot of smoke. There's got to be a fire somewhere. To go from 5 to 25, five times what they predicted just a little bit earlier. What if they're only half right?
Yeah.
I don't know what that would do. I'm not a specialist on that, but it's not going to fix anything. It's going to make it much worse for a lot of people. And, of course, that a lot of people is going to be the consumers, the guys that aren't making $500,000 a year or better. Yeah, so I don't know. But go ahead, Melody. Go ahead and say a few things. We're going to break anyway.
No, we're getting ready to go into the break. So what's the article that we're going to have when we come back from the break?
Geopolitical risk. Premium could send oil prices to 120, which I think is an underestimate, way underestimate. We'll discuss that because we're not picking over 95 already. We're almost to $100. What's
we're
another 20 bucks?
Yep.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It really is. And we'll see how it affects the gas prices here in the couple days to see how quickly they respond. But I was surprised to see it jump as much as it did. But I'm just surprised at everything, the way it reacted to war. I mean, basically, you know, we think the Dow dropping 500 points and gold up as 30 is really nothing, considering what the outcome can be.
It wasn't 6 months ago we were saying, oh, we're going to go $100 a barrel. That wasn't six
That's
months
right.
ago.
It wasn't six months ago. It was about
95.
2 months ago.
Yeah, exactly.
About 2 months ago, Butch.
It's only been that long, but it's hit over 95. So I think we're looking, this is coming by the sources, not just me, up to $200 a barrel or more before this year's over. If we go to war, who knows what it could be.
Who knows what it would be due. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. And Butch, we have a caller on the line, so we'll start the break that way. We have Ivan from Pennsylvania calling us.
Hello, Ivan.
Hello, Ivan.
Good afternoon, Butch and Melody. A long time no talk.
Yes.
Hello. I was out for 3 months. I broke my leg.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, what'd you going to do that for?
Well, I wanted attention.
Okay. Well, next time call me. I'll give you some better ideas than that, but go ahead.
I know. Well, I'm calling regarding this Russia-Ukraine conflict or about to be a conflict. I think my thoughts are, you probably discussed it, I'm sorry I didn't catch you earlier, but they, you know, with their 150,000 troops plus reserves being called up, they are looking much further than just Ukraine, okay? I mean, they don't need that many troops to take over Ukraine. I think they are looking at destruction of NATO, or part of it, okay? They might not destroy all of the nations, but they might attack with the pincer movement of north, like Germans used to do, and even bypass most of the Ukraine and hit nations like they won't hit Germany, Poland, Hungary, maybe Slovakia, and some of these countries won't be hit, but they'll hit the other countries like France, England, etc. You know. Because 150,000 troops against Poland, I mean against Ukraine, is an overwhelming force, and you know they don't need that many troops, plus reserves. You know, so
that's a really good point. And I don't think I've heard anyone talk like that. That he's actually, so Ukraine is more of a distraction.
Yeah, Ukraine is a false flag. You know, and they might probably take part of Ukraine, you know, the one which, because they need a land bridge to Crimea, so they'll take that part of Ukraine, but nothing more than that. I think they'll be going for the NATO, NATO countries.
Well,
and
if they would do that.
Not, I'm sorry?
If they would do that, that would mean all-out war, period.
Well, they agreed, from what I hear, that they might even do it before end of the Olympia.
Oh, yeah, that's what I've been hearing, yes. Yes. Well, yeah. if that is true, and they would make that big a push, and that's a good point you made, that would definitely mean world war. And that's
right.
Something I don't think anybody's ready for.
Well, you see, we are not ready, but they are. And like I say, I mean, they don't need 150 or plus troops, 1,000 plus troops, plus all their latest, I understand they are using the latest hardware, military hardware.
They are, yes, they are. Yes, they are.
So, you know.
Well, that would cause a response that will be forever life-changing, because I'm convinced, especially America, if Americans figure they're losing the war without even having a chance to fight, they're going to get the biggest weapon they got out right up front to try to stop it. That would mean nuclear, and that is not something that anybody wants to think about.
Yeah, well, they might. I don't know who would be their first, to shoot a nuke, but... you know, they don't need that many troops for Ukraine. I mean, there's absolutely no need of having 150 plus, and I understand they also mobilize the reserves, and they have a very nice pass around north with the pincer movement like the Germans used to do in Second World War, and... you know, take part of Ukraine and then hit like Britain, France. They might spare Germany and Poland, Hungary, Slovakia, maybe, and so, you know, some of these other countries. But definitely England and France and some of the other Netherlands might be, you know, might be.
They couldn't take that over.
Oh yeah, much quicker than you know. I mean,
Germany did it with a lot less force than what Russia has.
Right.
They did, took up most of Europe, but this would bring forth a response that I don't think we want to think about. I'm convinced there would be, it'd be a nuclear war, because with that kind of a front coming in, conventional war is not going to stop them. Europe can't stop them. America can't stop conventionally either from over here, so I'm convinced it'd go nuclear, and that does concern me.
Yeah,
well, I agree that maybe, but I don't know who is first to use it, okay?
Yeah.
Is it going to be U.S.?
Well, I would expect the U.S. would do it, because they would have no other choice. They can't fight conventional war.
Right, they are pretty, yeah, I mean, especially under today's government. They are very weak, and I think this is what Putin is counting on, that the U.S. will
respond,
will
yes.
not hit, because he knows that Biden is not going to be a,
Let me ask this question. Has anybody thought that perhaps if Russia does this to Ukraine, that China will do Taiwan at the same time?
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's absolutely nothing that anyone could do.
Nothing.
Well, and they say that even Olympics won't stop this. I mean, this is from what I understand. There were some news briefs on that.
Some very good points.
The problem is that troops cannot be in a jump of position for a very long time. They have to be stand down. And since Russia is there pretty, in full force, and, almost in jump of position to attack, that they will, they might take like a pincer movement toward Crimea, because they need a land bridge to Crimea compared to the bridge they have now, which is a regular, ocean bridge or a river bridge or whatever you call it, And so they want to get the land bridge to Crimea, and then with the upper, north. With a pincer attack Europe, because that would be the only reason why he would have mobilized that many troops, because he doesn't need 150,000 troops to attack Ukraine. I mean, that's nonsense,
Okay.
I mean, it's an overkill.
Well, Ivan, thanks for the info. That's very good. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Good thoughts. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
And do keep in touch once in a while. Hey, don't break any more legs.
No, I'm still kind of rehabbing, you know, but it was a nasty fall, and, you know, I just don't want to do it again.
I'm glad you're getting better.
Well, keep in touch with us.
I shall.
Okay.
I was out of commission for about 3 months, four months.
Well, you have a lot to catch up on, so hurry up.
All right. Well, you have yourself a good weekend, and see what happens in the next 24 to 48 hours.
All right. See you next week.
Thank you, Ivan.
Good information. It really was good information.
He's
right. He's truly right. And, of course, when you mentioned China might jump in the fiasco, too, you were right on that. I've been hearing that and thinking about that myself, because we can't fight a war on one front, much less two fronts. So,
particularly China.
Yes, exactly. And as Pat Shannon wrote it, America's, we'll call them, glory days are over. I mean, folks, hey, get mad if you want to. It's done. And we're getting ready to talk about the $120 barrel on oil, and I guess we can get through that pretty quickly, because obviously we're saying it's going to get there easily. And if we go to war with Russia, or even Russia invades Ukraine, folks, that's going to have a huge impact on oil prices. And Russia exports a lot of oil to European Union and natural gas. That's going to be a huge, huge hit on fuel and oil production, no doubt about it. So we're going to see. I don't know. It's not looking good. And Melody, we have things, of course, going on all the world. But what's going on in Canada right now? We're seeing with the truckers protest in Canada. The Ontario declared a state of emergency because they blocked the bridge. You know, the bridges they blockaded, an Ambassador Bridge, and the truckers said they're going to open up one of the lanes. But they're going to fine these protesters as much as $78,800 on a fine and jail time if they don't get out of the way. They're trying to pass laws quickly so the cops can come and arrest them, and basically calling the military to fight these guys doing this. Folks, people fighting for freedom are going to hit strong walls because the other side's had its way for so long. They're not going to back down without a fight. What's happening right now in Canada is going to come to the U.S. soon. Ottawa is basically taken down because of truckers, and they're doing what they can to return the nation back to somewhat of a situation where they knew before all this pandemic nonsense is taking away their rights to travel and work and forcing them to do medical things they don't believe in. We're going to see things heat up in a lot of fronts. And this is only the beginning. Only the beginning. Our nation is divided among ourselves. Canada is obviously. Australia is. America is divided over a lot of things. The pandemic's just one of them. It's also racism. It's all other things we're divided over now. America is divided. Going to war may unite the country again, and I'm convinced the administration knows that. They're not the first ones to pull that ploy. America's not the first country to do that either. So we're living in perilous times, as prophesied in the book in 2 Timothy. Perilous times are here, dangerous times. Unrest everywhere, Melody. That's in the Bible. Unrest over all the world. I had a guest on from Australia last week. April Mead tells what's going on in Australia. They're amassed about 1 million people in the capital of Australia right now. They're shooting for 5 million people to get into the capital of Australia to get back their liberties and freedoms in Australia. This is what's happening worldwide. Melody, this is, if there's ever time people need to pray, it's now.
Absolutely.
Every time they need to prepare, it's now. They don't have time to wait any longer. If you're not putting back some kind of storable food, if you don't have a way of purifying water, and you don't have something of tangible value in your hands, and that includes food and water and guns and ammo, but also some real monetary value, gold and silver, then I don't know what you're waiting for. If you don't call Melody up right away, you're going to miss the boat. 800-375-4188. Folks, $100 in silver one day soon could be worth $10,000 in paper money right now. I mean, this has happened in history before, in Melody, where a piece of gold has bought a whole motel or something, has it not?
It has. It's bought many things, you know,
yes,
because it has maintained its value. And when you have a currency that no one wants, and as bad as the rest of the world wants the U.S. to go away, What are they going to attack? They're going to attack the currency. When the system breaks, there goes, will they eliminate it totally? We don't know. But it'll lose its value, 50%, 70%, 80% of what's left of it. And, you know, Biden is supposed to speak with Putin tomorrow, but Butch, I don't think I was ever concerned. It concerns me that we're in this position with Biden as president.
Oh, my, yes. Oh, my, yes. It's like giving the
child. And if we feel that way, these nations know the weakness.
Of course. That's why they're moving now. They see our weakness.
Yep.
I mean, that's obvious.
Look how he handled Afghanistan.
Yes.
And we give him billions of dollars. It's like, okay.
Yep, this is unbelievable, folks. I would tell you right now that you better buckle up and get settled in on something that you have to do to take care of yourself. I don't know what the future holds. I'm not that kind of a prophet. But another scripture describes a lot of it. You need to call Melody and ask her some questions to at least get something of substantial worth in your hands while you can at 800-375-4188. Don't wait. Don't put it off. A phone call won't hurt. Just toll free. And Melody won't bite you too hard. Talk to her.
Hey, I hear the music, so we will be back on Monday. So, folks, be safe out there this weekend. And until then, good night and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.